This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines. Visit the number one volume Acura dealership in the Southeast United States 12 years in a row at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines.
All righty, we got Ira. He is ready to rock and roll. Ira, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Big O.
Good morning. So you got what? Is it like training camp? What do you got? Like press conferences today? What's going on today?
Well, you know, I'm finishing up some work ahead of time, starting to talk to some Heat players, going to talk to Dwayne Dedman, some others ahead of training camp. You know, even though we're 3 years into this with COVID, it's still not like regular media day. So when that starts a week from Monday, it's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit more hectic. It's going to be a little bit more limited. Oh, you know, one of the real good things about the Heat and the PR staff, I think, does a great job is they're able to get you together with players. You can get some one-on-ones. You get to know the players. These times have been so different that I'm just trying to sort of work ahead of time and get some players ahead of time because it's not like it used to be. Hopefully it will be like that again. You've sort of lost a little bit of the personal touch that's been so important in covering this team for 34 years. Hopefully we get back to that. So, yeah, the interview process is already starting. Camp starts a week from Tuesday.
All right, so Ira, before I get into the Heat, I want to bounce around a little bit in the NBA and sure. The whole Kyrie Irving thing. Now, obviously, now he's backtracking like an NFL cornerback on his stupid comment about masks and all that. And I know that he's also got a year left on his contract where the Nets can give him a big deal now or an even bigger deal in a year. And I got to tell you something. If I'm the Nets and I've got Kevin Durant, and that's the guy that I want to sign long-term, and that's the guy I want to build around, I can use him, Ira, to go get me that third star to replace this flake. And he's constantly injured as it is, and then he's also constantly sticking his foot in his mouth on a consistent basis, saying all kinds of stupid shit. And so I'm just wondering, Ira, if you're the Nets, I understand that Kyrie has super abilities. I get his handle and his shot and all that stuff, but there's all this other baggage that comes with it. And the other, he's also unreliable because of his body at times. This year was a perfect example of all of that. I'm just wondering, if you're the Nets, why do you want to move forward with this flake?
Because honestly, Big O, among the reasons they have Kevin Durant and they have James Harden is because they have Kyrie Irving. And because players recognize talent and players recognize unique talent. And I think outsiders, we look at the flakes and we look at the comments and we look at the backstories. Players don't give a rat's crap about that when you have a talent like Kyrie Irving alongside. And honestly, I'm not sure, tradable. You can find a better quality level player than Kyrie Irving. It's, in other words, you're not getting Steph Curry and going out and making a trade like that. You're not getting Anthony Davis. You're just not getting those players. Those are franchise cornerstones elsewhere. I agree. Kyrie Irving is maybe the NBA's, probably go as far as to say, ultimate headache. I mean, this is a guy, he was away from the team, and then it was mental health, and then he shows up at a party, and then he's not protected with the COVID protocols. He took a 10-game staycation in the middle of last season. Then come the playoffs, and he always seems to be injured when you need him at sort of the critical mass also. But the thing is, and you see this in all sports, you put up with an awful lot of BS in sports if you can get ultimate talent. He's ultimate talent. Talent-wise, Big O, he's a top 10 player.
I'm not arguing the talent whatsoever. You are 1,000% right, sir. It's just, it's the baggage. And then there's a key word, because you said, yeah, players don't care about that stuff. They care about the talent, mm-hmm. and he is. But they got to care about reliability. And you can't say he's reliable. That's the problem, because of his body, because of the flakiness at times. I'm going to take a 10-day, vacation. What kind of crap is that, dude? I mean, I don't know. I get the talent part, but players have to be pissed that they can't rely on him, right?
Yes and no. Players understand injuries. Everyone's been through it. Take James Harden, for example. Is James Harden not reliable because he had his hamstring and was limited, very limited in the playoffs and wasn't nearly himself? Or as a player, do you say, wow, that guy can do things that no one can stop? Kevin Durant is the most unstoppable scorer in the NBA. James Harden is the most unstoppable get-to-the-free-throw-line guy in the NBA. And Kyrie Irving has the best handles of any player in the NBA. So when you have all three of those factors working together for you, you sort of say, okay, we'll put up with the BS. People have put up with BS in other sports for years. You have to deal with it. Is it hard being a coach for Kyrie Irving? Definitely. Is it hard being the executive who has to go ahead and pay this guy $50 million a year on an extension? Definitely. But the third part of that equation, Big O, is it hard being his teammate? These guys are different than us. They don't look at it that way. They don't care if he makes it hard on the coaching staff. They don't care if he makes it hard on management. They know when they go out on the court and they are lining up with Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving, they sort of have that, whatever you want to call it, grin, eating grin on their face, knowing you can't stop us. We have too much right now. So you put up with the BS. Just like, you know what? Oh, early on in the game, and I think late in the game also, LeBron James has been like that also. That's a difficult guy to be around with his whims and who he wants alongside, and you better trade for this guy, and you better sign that guy, and I want it done this way. There's an awful lot of you put up ancillary with these guys that you have to. I agree with you. What we've seen the last week from Kyrie Irving, and also societal, some of the stuff he said when it came to COVID and all that, I agree with you that there's no place for that and it makes life harder. But no one said it's going to be easy when you're around a superstar, whether it's the NFL, the NHL, the, you know, the Major League Baseball. It's just what it is. And you see at every turn, teams, even when a pitcher's been accused of domestic abuse or something, they still trade for him. They still want him because they know greatness. Ultimately, and it might not be right, but oh, you're a big rock star fan. You're a big movie fan. There's some total jerks out there who make really good movies. There's some total a-holes out there that have absolutely broken up bands. But man, when they were at their best, whether it was riffing in their guitar, they were as good as anyone. So you look back and you look back, especially you with your rock and roll background, and you say, man, why did this group have to break up? Why did that guy have to leave? Why did that have to happen? Because you put up with the personalities, and you know what? When they were on point and they were being the best at what they do, there's no one better, so you put up with it. I bet you've gone to concerts, oh, and said, this guy, the front man for a band, is a total ass. But man, what a 3 hours that just was.
David Lee Roth. David Lee Roth.
And that's who I was thinking of. Donkey's ass. Right.
And then you
watch Sammy Hagar, who did the best he could with what he could, you know, when he went in there.
Oh, he's a much better singer. Yeah, right.
He's a much better professional. That's the one thing about him. Whether it's his solo career or even when he went to Van Halen and wanted to sort of change their approach and say, right, why are we doing best of, you know, albums and things like that? He was a pro's pro. But without the pro's pro, it was a lot more fun. That's what the Kyrie Irving experience is. I would put it this way. Oh, if you're asking me, are the Brooklyn Nets going to be the last team Kyrie Irving plays for? I would say no. I would say he will wear out his welcome again. He has done it in school. He has done it with his teams. He has done it with his ever-changing agents. It's just who he is. So you enjoy it for now. The one thing we've learned, whether it was the Celtics, whether it was the Heat or teams before, these big threes are not ultimate enduring teams. This is not the Showtime Lakers. This is not a team you can say for the next 5, 8, 10 years, we're going to be special. It's changed in sports and you deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. And he's worn it out with me too. Although I will say this, the idiot does a lot of good things behind the scenes too. So,
and that's the thing. Just when you're ready to rip him because he comes out, his sneaker maker makes a fantastic new shoe. He calls the sneaker garbage and said he wouldn't wear it, has to backtrack. But then he's creating fresh water overseas in communities that don't have it. So you know what? He's all over the place sort of with his personality.
Yeah.
You have to take the good with the bad. I've had plenty of Heat players that I've dealt with over the years. And just when you're at your breaking point, you get a release that he's feeding the homeless or he's creating a scholarship program or something like that. And you go, either his agent knows how to play the system or behind everything else, there is still a good man behind that.
Yeah, I'm with you there. There's no doubt about that. All right, let's just remind Heat fans, because, you know, you get it. I'm sure you got it, and so did I, and your DMs or your tweets or whatever. They don't have what it takes, cap space, whatever, to get John Wall. But how do they get rid of John Wall? So Because now everybody's talking about, well, they're trying to go to trade John Wall. What happens with John Wall? And why doesn't he do the Dougie anymore? Because that was one of the greatest Dougies of all time. All right, go ahead.
Well, maybe he's too injured to Dougie anymore, so we'll have to wait and see. Maybe he could do it on the bench. We'll have to see that also. Oh, can he be traded? Yes, because there are other bad contracts. So right now, boom, I could give you a trade of John Wall for Kevin Love. Does that help the Rockets? No. Does that help the Cavaliers? No. But it can be done. People thought that was the same trade last year when they traded John Wall for Russell Westbrook. And then all of a sudden, Russell Westbrook revived his career, was Mr. Triple-Double at the end of the year. And you know what? Provided enough value that all of a sudden now Washington this offseason gets a Kyle Kuzma, gets a Montrezl Harrell, gets players that give them better depth so that it is workable. Eventually, it comes down to this. Which is the greater driving force for John Wall at this point of his career? Love of the game or love of money? Because at any point, he is allowed to go, I will take less. I will take a buyout. Kemba Walker so wanted to get to the New York Knicks, his hometown New York Knicks, that he went to the Oklahoma City Thunder and said, take $20 million, shave it off the top of my contract. You can have that money back. I get to go to New York, finish my career where I started scholastically. So it's doable. But John Wall has to look inside also and say to himself, will I ever be great again? Will I ever have that explosion again? Will I ever get a $5, $8, $10, $20 million contract again? Or do I want to protect my earnings? Everyone in the NBA has the choice. This is not the NFL where you can restructure your contract. You either have a contract or you get out of your contract by buying it out. There's no middle ground. There's no, instead of, you know, $40 million, I'll take $25 million. Let's make it work for trade. You don't have that flexibility. But at any point, you can say, one, I don't want to play for the Rockets because you're rebuilding. God bless you. But two, I want to play for something meaningful, so I'll give back a chunk of change. So right now, they're not doing it publicly, but very much behind the scenes. The Rockets are going to John Wall, going exactly, okay, if you give up X amount of money, we'll give you a buyout. And John Wall's going to the Rockets or his people and going, I'm only giving up X amount of money. Is that enough for me to get a buyout? I think this will play out slowly along the way to the point where either John Wall realizes he has no market or John Wall realizes, you know what? I want to play NBA ball. I'm working well in practice. I can still do this stuff. I still want to be someone. It's his decision to make. And it's nothing more Big O than a cost analysis.
All right, Ira, we've got Heat training camp right around the corner. Does the Heat still start their training camp where the first 2 weeks they don't even touch the ball? It's all defense and conditioning. Is it still like that in today's NBA?
It was, but I think with the roster they have now, there's a real trust factor on that end of the game. I mean, if you were to look at players, you probably would say to yourself, Bam is a better defensive player than offensive player. You probably would also say Jimmy Butler is a better defensive player than offensive player. We know that is the case for PJ Tucker. You can make an argument in that direction for Kyle Lowry. He is one tough SOB.
Markeith can play defense, too. Markeith
has before. So I think it's the opposite. And something maybe people think I've been harping on a little is, where's the scoring going to come from? So I think they need to make Tyler Hero comfortable during camp. They have to make Duncan Robinson comfortable with his new teammates. They have to set up scrimmages where every time Bam Adebayo has a 17-foot wide-open jumper, if he doesn't take the shot, not make the shot, take the shot, they run laps. They have to put that kind of pressure on him.
Can we put that collar on him and then we can shock him?
I don't know. There's a lot of
Why not? Hey, Bam, shoot. Shoot.
There's a lot of elements there. There might even be some racial elements. I'm not going there, Big O. But I think you could stop practice and make people run suicides or something like that. So it's weird. Most of the time, I would agree. Eric Spoelstra would go, we didn't do anything today. We worked on our defensive sets. We worked on our conditioning. I think this is a year they need to work on their offense. I know this team can defend. You know this team can defend.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know what? You got to score in today's NBA. Yes. You can't just score 100. You have to get to 110. And if you could check all the Heat boxes and say, if Jimmy Butler hits his career average, if Kyle Lowry hits his career average, if Bam Adebayo hits his career average, and you go down the line, I'm not sure you get enough points there. So players have to be better offensively. You can say, hey, we're going to make a system that'll make us better. No, you need to get more points out of players. Tyler Hero doesn't have to score, but he needs to score. Duncan Robinson doesn't have to score, but he needs to score. Max Strus has to make shots. He can't just be a summer league wonder. I think Eric Spoelstra will not address that, But you and I will hear twice a week on the Acura Pembroke Pines report, and we'll talk about, is the Heat offense where it needs to be? Because I think that's going to be the story of the season, one untold from Eric Spoelstra, but one told here at least twice every week.
And this is kind of an unfair question to you because I know you don't. None of us have any kind of access to this. Sure. Do we know where Depot stands? Do we know how they're going to paste him? I guess you guys will probably ask Spo what's the plan for him throughout the year while he continues to rehab and get ready for whenever he makes his debut.
You know, it's interesting. The Heat asked us if we can get you players ahead of the season. Who would you like? List them in order. Like I told you, I'm getting Dwayne Dedman later today. And so I put number one on my list, Victor. Number two on my list, Oladipo. Because, oh, you are so correct. There is no bigger swing factor here.
Yeah.
There is no bigger swing state for the Miami Heat. We know this. He had his surgery in May for the quadricep. We know that the surgeon he went to, which was, interestingly, the Philadelphia 76ers team surgeon. Remember, he was an impending free agent. He didn't know if he'd be back with the Heat, so he went with what he thought was the best independent doctor. And that surgeon told Adrian Wojnarowski and ESPN that this time it's finally healed, that this time they got to the root of the problem that wasn't necessarily the case previously with the Rockets or, of course, the Indiana Pacers. The thought was he would miss at least half the season because of caution, number one, and because, you know, at the time, we didn't even know where he would be playing. So I think midseason is still the goal. And, oh, he answers all the questions. He checks all the box. He's another defender. He's another scorer. He's another guy that has played, honestly, at big moments in his career, even with the Pacers' limited
injury
success.
That's the only thing. Injury is the only problem with that kid.
He's the guy, when you talk to me about, could the Heat get John Wall, which we talked about with the contract? Can the Heat sign another player, which you mentioned salary cap-wise, they don't have the room for that? All their answers might be just the waiting game for Victor Oladipo, even if he's 75% of what he was. No other NBA team has a guy waiting in the wings outside of Kawhi Leonard with the Clippers, who they don't know, will he come back from his knee injury? Won't he come back this season? There's probably not another swing factor I can recall. You can talk about TJ Warren if you wanted Indiana, who could have that much impact. The Miami Heat, and we talk about this also on Wednesday at the Palette Rock City Inside the Paint Show with Clay Ferraro, the Miami Heat, we talk about competitor and contender. The Miami Heat are a competitive team right now. The Miami Heat with Victor Oladipo are a contender because all of a sudden, against your Kyrie Durant and Harden, against your Giannis Antetokounmpo, Middleton, and Holiday, I can throw at you a Jimmy Butler, a Kyle Lowry and a Victor Oladipo and feel pretty confident in that. So yes, but I'm just saying proven guy who's been there. Right. Bam is coming along. He had that one NBA Finals run. He's still young. He's still a guy who
But as a team defender, at least I don't have to behind those three. You know what I'm saying?
A two-way player, Jimmy two-way player, Victor two-way player, Kyle two-way player. That's the difference. I think that can make a huge difference. And you know what's going to happen, and you know this. You were a Miami Heat reporter for years under the Riley regime. You know how this is. We will ask about Victor Oladipo, and Eric Spoelstra at every turn will tell us there's no new update. I don't have anything for you guys. He doesn't want that to become the Heat storyline. Pat Riley hates injuries. He has told his staff. He has told his media relations people. He has told the media, stop talking about injuries. Let's talk about the players who are there right now. So the Heat will downplay it, and it'll just happen organically. And all of a sudden, and we've seen this, on all injury reports in all sports. He'll go from out to doubtful to questionable, and all of a sudden he'll show up as probable one day. And when that day happens, Big O, everything changes for the Miami Heat.
That's going to be awesome, man. I would love for his sake, because obviously it's got to be incredibly frustrating to have the God-given ability to know that you're a proven player in this league and yet your body doesn't hold up. That's got to be incredibly frustrating. We watch it all the time with Devontae Parker. You know the kid can play, and all the injuries have already taken a toll that he'll never be what he could have been, if he would have been able to reach his peak in this league, and all those injuries have taken a toll. And then you wonder also with Depot, with all these injuries, how much have they taken a toll? Can he be that guy you saw at his peak with Indiana, or is he a guy that maybe will have to pace himself because of all those injuries? That's a real shame. Do you see enough respect around the league for the Heat right now
or is there enough doubt out there to create motivation for the guys?
You know, when you talk about respect, the only people we tend to hear are the media. And we've seen some questions. We've seen these media polls. They have the Heat fourth in the East. The NBA general manager's poll will come out in a couple of weeks. That'll give us a little better sense. I don't necessarily disagree with their placement of the Heat as fourth in the East, because you have to be honest, though. The Brooklyn Nets shape up as a better team. The Milwaukee Bucks defending champion shape up as a better team. Now, most people have Philadelphia ahead of the Heat. Until they resolve their Ben Simmons situation, I sort of put them as an outlier. I don't know. I do like what the Boston Celtics have done in regrouping after losing Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier. So I think they will be an interesting team, how that comes around. Getting Dennis Schroeder on the cheap, getting Al Horford back for his big man play and his leadership versus Daniel Tice and what you were with. I think Boston's a concern. The East is good. I think that he can finish anywhere from three, honestly, Big O, to six. Because I think you could put Philadelphia at three. You could put Atlanta at four. And all of a sudden, you're sort of fighting right in there, maybe with the Knicks team, and maybe they hold their ground. So I think it's going to be interesting. I think it'll be an every game matters situation for the Heat, which is fascinating because they're an older team, and I don't know if they can play every game matter basketball when you have an older player like PJ Tucker and like Kyle Lowry, and to a degree even now like Jimmy Butler. It's going to be a real interesting balance. I would love for there to be more depth, Oladipo-type depth, but that won't be there the first half of the season.
Follow him on Twitter at IraHeatBeat. More importantly, catch his work at the South Florida Sun Sentinel, and please subscribe to the South Florida Sun Sentinel like I and many others do. Support your local journalism. They do an excellent job of providing all the information we need as a community. And of course, you can catch Ira Winderman twice a week here with the Acura Pembroke Pines Miami Heat and NBA Report Tuesdays and Fridays. And on Wednesdays, the Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint Show. Man, that show is going to get really, really juicy now when the season starts every week, Wednesdays, 10 to 11 a.m. with Ira and with Clay. Ira, as always, thank you for taking some time. Have a fantastic and safe weekend, my friend.
And anybody who thinks it's been a rough week, just keep this in mind. Unlike me, at least you're not a New York Giants fan. Thank you, Big O.
Yes, you are right, sir. There you go. Ira Winderman with the Acura of Pembroke Pines, Miami Heat, and NBA Report.